at this point in time that we transition our program to the Yom HaAtzmaut piece, a segment in which we celebrate the establishment of the State of Israel 69 years ago. And I think we'd all agree that Yom HaAtzmaut is an exceptionally complicated day outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's complicated, of course, to transition from the sadness and the heaviness of Yom HaZikaron to the celebratory and uplifting nature of Yom HaAtzmaut. But the truth is, just today I saw a wonderful article by Dr. Erica Brown. And she described Yom HaAtzmaut in the following way. She said, "Celebrating Israel's Independence Day in the diaspora is a little bit like making a birthday party where the guest of honor fails to show up. We try to celebrate, we try to be excited, we try to recognize the beautiful miracle that we feel occurred to our people less than 7 decades ago, but here we are in the diaspora. The truth is, Yom HaZikaron is much easier than Yom HaAtzmaut, because if there's one thing we know how to do as a people, it's mourn. If it's one thing we know how to do as a people, it's to reflect on that which has been lost. But to celebrate the great miracle that is being celebrated as we speak 6,000 miles away, to reflect on the fact that although we feel so privileged to have a modern day miracle of the State of Israel, yet we are still here, certainly does feel like that birthday party where the guest of honor fails to show up. But we're going to try to spend a few moments tonight to try to reflect on the miracle. And although no diaspora celebration will ever be the same as the celebration in Eretz Yisrael, and no matter how hard we try or how much falafel we eat, we will not be able to get into that same level of joyous elation. But we're going to try. Because the Jew says to him or herself, even if it can't be perfect, I'm going to try to make it as great as I can. Even if it can't be as joyous, as celebratory, I'm going to try to find some meaning, I'm going to try to find some simcha. So how can we extract some simcha, some happiness, some celebration from our Yom HaAtzmaut, from our Israel Independence Day celebration 6,000 miles away from our national homeland? So I want to thank Dr. Langbaum again, because he lent me a wonderful sefer called Sefer HaMoadim, which has a whole, written by a Dr. Yom Tov Levinsky, which has a whole section on Yom HaAtzmaut, and it chronicles the history of this day. And I saw a magnificent piece where he quotes the great Israeli author Shai Agnon. Shai Agnon compiled a Haggadah for Yom HaAtzmaut. Now don't worry, we're not going to go through a whole Haggadah. We're not going to try to recreate the Pesach Seder. But I want to share with you a couple of excerpts from his Haggadah. He begins his Haggadah for Yom HaAtzmaut with a simple question. Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. Why is this night different from all of the other nights? And listen to my friends what he answers. Avadim hayinu ligoyim b'chol haratz osu b'chol amadinos. I'm going to have to do it with my havara, with my shprach, otherwise it's going to be unnatural. He says, we were slaves b'chol agoyim to all of the nations, b'chol haratz osu to all of the lands, mimizrach shemesh v'ad ma'arava. From one end, earth of the, one end of the earth to the other. Wherever the Jews have lived, the Jews have also been persecuted. Ve'ya'anu osanu, ve'yirdifu osanu, ve'yifarubana paros. And wherever we were, our host nations afflicted us. Our host nations oppressed us. Ve'ne'amar ishel ochiv. But one day, we turned to each other and we said, Narima rosh, let's lift our heads. Ve'nashuva el artsenu la'avodes ad masenu. Let's raise our heads. Let's go back to our land. Let's work our soil. Beis Yaakov lechu v'nelcha. Let's go. V'netze misham v'ne'arenu b'skeinenu. Let's leave our diaspora homes with our young and with our old. Al nashinu v'al tapeinu, with our women, with our children. V'ilu lo yatsanu. Had we not made the courageous decision to go back home. Hare anu ubaneinu uvenei baneinu. Us, our children and our grandchildren, Mishubadim hayinu legayim ad hayom azeh. We would be enslaved to the nations of this world, to this very day. What the great poet, and unbeknownst to most, great Talmud Chacham, Shai Agnon, was trying to teach us, is that even if we are not yet privileged to live on the holy soil of Eretz Yisrael, having it, knowing that it exists, knowing that it is there for us to welcome us at any point we would decide, gives our people an incredible amount of strength. And he goes on, I'm just going to quote to you one more piece. Kineged arba banim dibra Torah. Quotes again from the Haggadah, the Torah speaks to four different types of children. I'm just going to quote to you from the first one. Echad chacham, echad rasha. Chacham mahu omer. What does the wise man say? Ma'idos v'chukim v'hamishpatim asher aleihem binuya medina seinu. What are the laws upon which our state is built? Va'af ata emer lo kihilchos ha-medina. Teach him the laws of the state of Israel. Pesucha la'aliyah yehudit v'lekibutz golios. Teach him that the state of Israel is ready to receive any Jew from anywhere. Shokhedes al pasuach ha'aretz l'chol toshveh. That the state of Israel will always remain open to any Jew around the world. Mushseses al yisodos achirus. It is built upon the pillars of freedom. Tzedek, justice. Shalom, peace. Lo'or chazonam shanaviyei Yisrael. In accordance with the vision of the great prophets of yesteryear. Manashtana halayla zeh mikol halaylos. Why is this night different? Because on this night we celebrate what one could say is perhaps the greatest miracle of the last 2,000 years, the establishment of a Jewish homeland, the establishment of Medinat Yisrael, whose doors, whose borders are always and will always remain open to us, no matter what else happens in this world. And I want to share with you one more historical piece. This is an eyewitness description of the first Yom Ha'atzmaut, May 4th, 1949. See, wonder to yourself, this took place in the Yeshurun Synagogue, where the tefillos were led by none other than the Ashkenazic chief rabbi, Rav Herzog, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And listen to the description. Likras Hashanah Harishona Shal Achrazas HaMedina Niskabla Hachlota Bikneses Lachug Midei Shana B'Shana. After the State of Israel was established in 1948, the Knesset made a decision to establish this as a legal holiday. So in the first anniversary of the founding of the state, Hey Iyar Tufshin Tes, the 5th of Iyar, the year, English year 1949, there was an incredible celebration. He goes on to describe, it's actually quite amazing, all businesses were closed, movie theaters were open for free to the public, rated G, of course. Achadayin lo nitna lo tsura misuyames. My dear friends, listen to these words. Achadayin lo nitna lo tsura misuyames. Which loosely translated means, we had no idea what we were doing. We got together in the Yeshurun Shul, and we didn't know. What do we do? Do you say a shachyanu, not say a shachyanu? Do you say a halal with a bracha, without a halal, without a bracha? Do you say halal at all? Should you go ahead and add things onto tefillos? Should there be a kriyas haTorah, not kriyas haTorah? Should there be a half Torah, not a half Torah? And I found such solace in this. Because not all that much has changed in 69 years. We come together, Yom HaAtzmaut. And of course, again, halal, no halal. I will tell you that yesterday, I had more questions about whether or not we should say Tachnun today, Monday morning. Because we understand today, remember again, everything is a Nidcha. The way it works in the state of Israel is that Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaAtzmaut are never observed on a Sunday. The Rabbanut declares that in order to avoid any potential Chilul Shabbos, any potential Shabbos desecration, that could result as a result of these celebrations. So this was the hot burning topic in American Jewry's mind. It's Monday, it's a long Tachnun, technically it's the 5th of Iyar, so should we go ahead and should we say Tachnun? I said, I should get as many Hilchos Shabbos questions. Right? There's many Taras HaMishpacha questions. As I got about Tachanun on a Nidche, so amazingly enough, when Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi, Adayin lo nitna tzura misuyemes. We came to shul, and we weren't exactly sure what to do or what not to do. See, my friends, the reason why this is so beautiful is because Yom HaAtzmaut is a confusing day. And it's a confusing day because on one hand, we know deep down that we feel so much simcha. We feel so much happiness. But we're not exactly sure how to plug in this happiness. Do we plug it in to a technical, mechanistic, religious framework? Do we add on to tefillah, not add on to tefillah? And again, the truth is, all of this boils down to a simple, fundamental question. You know, when you look back at the history and they codified prayers, like Maishi just said so beautifully before, the tefillah l'shlom hamadina, the tefillah for the state of Israel, you know, there are multiple versions of that tefillah. Multiple versions of that prayer. Some have in it the phrase that we say, reishis tznichas gulasenu, recognizing or feeling that the state of Israel is the beginning of messianic redemption. Some say, shetehei reishis tznichas gulasenu, it should be the beginning of our redemption. A recognition that maybe the state is or not, whatever it is, it's good, but we need real messianic redemption. And then other versions which take out the phrase Tzmichas Gulasenu altogether. No reference to messianic redemption, but a recognition that the founding of the state is definitely a good, beautiful, and holy event. Who's right? I'm not going to take a poll. But at the end of the day, everyone's right, everyone's wrong. The answer is we don't know. Because as much as we celebrate the beautiful event that occurred 69 years ago, without prophecy, without the Navi, without a Beis HaMikdash, we often don't know the real impact of events in the continuum of Jewish history. Was the founding of the state a step towards messianic redemption? So you know, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kohen Kok Zecher Tzadik Livracha said, people mistakenly think that the founding of the state was the beginning of messianic redemption. Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, redemption began way before the founding of the state. When the Vilna Gaon's Talmidim first inaugurated the first wave of Aliyah, the first wave of immigration there, so Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, that was the beginning of Geula. The founding of the state is another step. But my dear friends, whatever you believe, racious, shetehei racious, it's not Mashiach at all, whatever it is, it's beautiful, it's magnificent, and it's holy. Adayin lo nitna tzura misuyemes. If Rav Herzog Zecher Tzadik Livracha couldn't figure it out, then we are not going to either. But here's the beautiful part. Is that you don't have to know where the state of Israel figures into messianic redemption to be able to celebrate this incredible gift. So let's spend a few moments tonight focusing on what is this gift. What is the role of the state of Israel in our personal and national lives? Why should we celebrate this beautiful 69th anniversary? And there's a magnificent pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, chapter 126, a pasuk that we're familiar with because we say it at least once a week on Shabbos Kodesh. Shir hamalos b'shuv Hashem shivas Sion hayinu kecholmen. Literally translated, a song of ascent. When the Lord returns, the returnees to Tzion, to Zion, to Eretz Yisrael, we shall be like dreamers. Hayinu kecholmen. And the commentaries struggle to understand, what does this mean? I understand that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns us back to Yerushalayim, remember again, the context of this pasuk is speaking about what?
is actually speaking about the rebuilding of the second temple. It's talking about the idea that we knew when the first temple was destroyed, we knew that we were only going to be in exile for 70 years. We knew redemption would come. So we say, Shir HaMalos B'Shuv HaShem HaSil HaSil, God, when you bring us back, Hayinu Kichomim, we will be like dreamers. But what does that mean? And Radak says so beautifully, what does it mean we'll be like dreamers? Kichalom Ya'uf Yeh Be'einenu Tzoras HaGolos Merov HaSimcha Shetiyeh Lanu B'Shuvenu La'artzenu. The Radak says that when we are redeemed and we return to the land of Israel, our suffering will be like a dream. That our suffering will be eclipsed by the enormity of our happiness. That our suffering will be like a dream. And my friends, I want to tell you, I think about this pasuk almost every day. Because I think to myself, can you imagine there's going to be a day when our happiness is going to be so great that it's going to eclipse our suffering? Could we even imagine that? Can we imagine happiness that is so great that it'll even eclipse the sadness of the loss of the 6 million? Can we imagine a happiness that is so great that it will eclipse the loss of more than 1 million people who were murdered by the Romans when Yerushalayim fell? Can we imagine a happiness that is so great that will eclipse the sadness of almost 24,000 soldiers who have died establishing and protecting the state of Israel? And we can't imagine it because it hasn't happened yet. Because that's the Simcha of Mashiach. That's the Simcha of full redemption. An intense joy, an intense happiness that is so great that it makes all of your personal and national suffering feel like a dream. But perhaps to understand this pasuk, perhaps to understand the dream, we have to look at a beautiful Gemara. A Gemara with which we are all familiar, a Gemara Maseches Tainis, where the Gemara discusses the great sage Choni HaMa'agel. Choni, that was his name, Choni, and Ma'agel means the circle drawer. Why was he called the circle drawer? Because we're familiar with the famous story, there was an incredible drought in Eretz Yisrael. Choni drew a circle and he said, God, I'm not leaving the circle until you cause it to rain. Now my friends, don't try that at home. Right? Don't threaten God, don't give God ultimatums. Not a good, usually doesn't end well for most people. Choni was exceptionally righteous. In fact, again, the Talmud tells us, it began to pour. And amazingly enough, the other rabbis wanted to excommunicate Choni for his incredible chutzpah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't give God ultimatums. You don't threaten God, I'm not going to move out of the circle unless you cause it to rain. But the rabbi said, Choni, what are we supposed to do to you? Because you're like a son who disobeys his father, yet all his father does is hugs and kisses him. So the Gemara then goes on to a lesser known story. The Gemara says, Kal yomav sha'olso tzadik, ha'yomitzna'er al mikra zeh, shira malos b'shuv Hashem eshiva siyon, ha'yinu kichomim. So Choni was always bothered by this pasuk, this verse we quoted. A song of ascents, when the Lord returns the returnees to Tzion, who will be like dreamers. And Choni understood, of course, that it was referring again to the destruction of the first temple, the rebuilding of the second temple, which was a 70-year period. So Choni had a simple question. Mi'ika denayim shivin shnin b'chalma? Is there anyone who dreams for 70 years? So the quick answer, of course, is yes. There are plenty of people that sleep through an entire lifetime. Plenty of people that spend their whole life dreaming and never actually acting. But Choni was bothered by this. Could it be that a person dreams for 70 years? And the Talmud tells an amazing story. Yom achad hava azu ba'archa. One day, Choni was traveling. Chazi elahu gavra dahava nata churba. He saw a young man who was planting a carob tree. Bakter. Amar lei, hai ad kama shinin toin. He says to the young man, tell me, how long will it take for that tree to produce fruit? Amar lei, at Shivin Shnin. The man said, the planter said, you know what? It could take up to 70 years for the carob tree to produce fruit. Amar lei, Pshita lacha, Dechayi Shivin Shnin. Sechoni says to the young man, tell me, You're pretty confident. You think you're going to live to see the fruit of that tree? I mean, you're no youngster. You think you're going to live another 70 years to be able to see the fruit of that tree? And listen to my friends, the answer. Amar lei, hai gavra alma becharuva ashkechase. This man, the planter referring to himself, came into a world where there are carob trees. Ki hechi dishasli li avasi, shasli nami libroi. The same way my father planted carob trees for me, I will plant carob trees for my son. The Gemara goes on. Yosef kakarech rifta, asale shin sanai. Choni sat down to eat a little bit, and he fell asleep. And the Talmud goes on, and there's a lot of metaphor in this Gemara, not for tonight. But Choni goes ahead and he falls asleep for 70 years. Not realizing that he's been asleep so long. Kikam, when he got up, Chazi elahu gavra dahava kamalakit minayu. He sees the same carob tree. But what does he see? He sees someone collecting, harvesting the carobs from the tree. Now Choni doesn't know what happened. Amar lei, atu deshasle, are you the same person who planted the tree? So the man said, no. Amar lei, bar bere ana, I am the planter's grandson. Amar lei, shmamina, deny me shivin shnin. Choni said, I see that I've been asleep for 70 years. My friends, what's the message of this Gemara? Perhaps what Choni HaMa'agel, the great righteous Choni, was asking is, could there be a dream that stays alive for 70 years? Is it possible for a person to keep dreaming the same dream over and over and over? Is it possible for a person to keep dreaming the same dream year after year, decade after decade? And what Choni was learning from this carob tree is that sometimes in life you have a dream. And the dream is very much like a sapling. If you water it, you care for it, you nourish it, it will flourish. But sometimes not in your lifetime. Sometimes the dreams that you have will only come true for your children, for your grandchildren. Sometimes the dreams that you have, dahayinu kichomim, well, the fruits of your labor, will only be enjoyed by subsequent generations. Choni didn't understand that a dream could live for so long. But then he understood that the dream, like the sapling, is sometimes nurtured for generations. And the fruit of that dream is only reaped much later on. And perhaps that's the message in the pasuk. Shir HaMalos, Ribono Shel Olam, tonight we sing to you. Why? B'shuv Hashem Eshivas Tzion. Because my dear friends, no matter how you view the state of Israel, one thing is clear. Which is 69 years ago, the Ribono Shel Olam gave us the great gift of Shivas Tzion. Gave us the great gift of being able to come back home. Gave us the great gift of allowing us to return to Tzion. But my friends, do you know why we have this great gift? Because hayinu kichomim. Because for the last 2,000 years, we have never stopped dreaming. Because for the last 2,000 years, the Jew has had many, many dreams. But Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel, has had but one dream. The dream of Eretz Yisrael. The dream of returning. The dream of returning home. Shira Malos B'Shuv Hashem Eshiv Asiyon. We have the privilege, albeit 6,000 miles away, to be able to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He has brought us back to Tzion. You know, my friends, don't take this miracle light. You know that the only thing that stands between us and going to Eretz Yisrael, I don't even mean Aliyah right now, but I mean the only thing that stands between us, two things stand between us and Eretz Yisrael, and that is, number one, your day job, right? And number two, the sometimes pricey price of an airline ticket. Do you know, my friends, what a privilege it is to live in a time where the only thing that stands between you and davening Shacharis tomorrow morning at the Kotel is $1,000.
It's not swimming ashore from some boat that can't dock. It's not some other government setting limitations or quotas on immigration. It's some money and some time. Shira malos b'shuva shemesh shiva sion. But we're able to have this credible gift because hayinu kichom. We have never stopped dreaming. But what is this great dream? On the one hand, you could say the dream is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu thousands of years ago. In Bereishis Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Tesvav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki as kala aretz asher ata ro'ah lecha etnena ulezar'acha ad olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, you see this land that you see, Avram, anywhere where you can see, it's going to be yours. And so perhaps that's the dream. Perhaps, again, the dream that Avram Avinu one day had to be the father of a great nation, to be in a land of his own, even though Avram Avinu is long gone. We as children continue that same dream, continue that same aspiration, continue that same desire. That's one possibility. But I think at the end of the day, the dream that we refer to is so much more than just the promise. Because you see, my friends, we have a couple of incredible dreams that occur in Sefer Bereishis that all occur in the holy soil of Eretz Yisrael. The first dream recorded in the Torah is Bereishis, Perek Chafes, Pasuk Yud Beis. Yaakov Avinu has taken flight from the familial home. He's on his way to seek refuge at the house of his uncle, the house of Lavan. And the Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu falls asleep. Where exactly he falls asleep, where exactly he has his dream, the location of this dream is subject to much dispute. Some say it was in Beit El. Others say that it was on Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount. And the Pasuk says, Vayachalom v'nesulov mutzav artza. Yaakov Avinu falls asleep, and what does he see in this dream? He sees a ladder, and the base of the ladder is on the earth. V'rosho magi Hashem, but the top of the ladder extends all the way to the heavens. V'hinei malachei Elokim olim v'yardim bo, and the angels are ascending and descending on that ladder. And the great Rebbe of Levi Yitzhak of Berditch of the Kedushas Levi says, do you know what the meaning of the dream was? Yaakov Avinu was seeing heaven and earth come together. Because you see, my friends, the beauty of Eretz Yisrael is that it's the one place in this world where heaven and earth join together. It's the one place where you can have your feet firmly planted on the ground. On one hand, the Sulam Mutzav Artsa, Betrosho Magia Hashamayma, but your head is in the clouds. Your head is in Shamayim. Your neshama just feels dramatically different. And even though you know you're walking on solid ground, you really feel like you're floating with every single step. There was another dream. That was the dream of Yosef HaTzadik. And my friends, you know, Yosef has two dreams. The Torah says in his first dream, he dreamt about v'nei anachnu ma'almim alumim b'soch ha'sadeh v'nei kam alum osi v'gam nitzava v'nei tisu ben alum osechem v'atishtecha ben ala alum osi. Yosef has two dreams. And in dream number one, he dreams of sheaves of wheat. And what does he dream about? That all of the other sheaves bow down to him. And in dream number two, he dreams about the sun and the moon and 11 stars, all of them bowing down to him. And Rav Soloveitchik explains so beautifully. The deeper meaning of these dreams is that the sheaves represent material success. The stars represent spiritual success. Yosef HaTzadik was the first person to ever dream of this two-pronged success. Because you see, my friends, before Yosef HaTzadik, the automatic assumption was that life is an either-or. Either you're going to be a wheat guy, or you're going to be a star guy. Either you're going to be materially successful, or you'll be spiritually successful. But you can't be both. The brothers have such a negative, visceral reaction to Yosef, because he thinks that his youthful immaturity is simply something unattainable. You can't be successful with your wheat and successful with your stars. Yet Yosef HaTzadik has this dream. But my friends, you understand, Everyone thinks that the dream about Yosef applies to Egypt, because there he was the viceroy, and there he was the great Yosef HaTzadik as well, but no. Because the dream didn't take place in Egypt. The dream took place in the holy soil of Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is the one place where heaven and earth come together. Eretz Yisrael is the one place where the ladder is firmly planted on the ground, but its head reaches into the heavens. Eretz Yisrael is the one place that has the wheat and has the stars. You know, we just had it in Daf Yomi today, where the Gemara discusses the dimensions of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara discusses the dimensions of the Holy of Holies. And the Talmud points out that the dimensions do not make sense. The ark is too big to fit in the Holy of Holies. To which the Talmud says something, a simple statement, which is, Aron eina min hamida. The dimensions of the Aron do not take up space. Try that with your contractor. Now we're in the middle of building now. Every foot is meaningful. Every inch is no such thing as guesstimates. Oh, don't worry about it. Aron didn't take up space. What does that mean? Aron didn't take up space. But it was a physical entity because, you see, my friends, it wasn't just the Beis HaMikdash. This is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, is where the heavens and the earth meet. That even our earthly existence is blanketed by spirituality. This is the beauty of our land. And you know what I mean. Because the truth is, if you've had the opportunity within the last few years, when I say last few years, since the new airport was built, which is not so new, and I still think of it as new, because I'm old enough to remember getting off the plane on the tarmac. Right? But again, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, you walk into that airport. So my friends, what's the first thing you think of when you walk into that airport? All the concessions are kosher. All right, but after that, right? Very simple. From an architectural perspective, it's too big. It's too big. Meaning that, think about it for just a moment, right? You fly out of Newark, you fly out of Kennedy. None of those airports are as cavernous as that Ben-Gurion airport. When you go ahead, you know why? Do you know why? Because every physical thing in Eretz Yisrael is built with a dimension of spirituality. I don't know if the architects knew it or not, but they built that airport for Kibbutz Golios. They built that airport for the ingathering of the exiles. They built that airport for Mashiach. That airport is ready to absorb as many Jews as are ready to come. And you know, in that moment, when you walk right into border control, you know, right before you're going to spend a little while online, and you're exhausted and you're a little bit cranky, and what do you see right there perched on that beautiful Tzuras HaPesach, on that beautiful doorway? You see that oversized mezuzah. And you think to yourself, why do they need a mezuzah so big? And then in the next breath you say, it has to be that big. Because a place with so much holiness, a place with so much kedusha, a place where heaven and earth meet together, needs a mezuzah of that size. It's perfect. It's exactly as it needs to be. Because in the makom, in the spot, where the base of the ladder sits situated on the ground, but the top extends to the heavens, that mezuzah represents the amplified holiness of our land. Eretz Yisrael allows us to dream the dream of Yosef. Eretz Yisrael allows us to have heaven and earth meet. Eretz Yisrael allows us to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make the world a little bit better and to be masters of our wheat. You know, there's an amazing pasuk. The pasuk says, and you have to think about this for just a moment. The pasuk says, this is in Devarim, Ki ha'aretz asher ata b'shama l'rishta, lo ki eretz mitzrayim yasher itzasa misham. Listen to this. And by the way, don't try this if you're trying to sell something. God is telling us about Israel. And what does God tell us? By the way, the land of Israel that you're going into is not like Egypt. Asher tizra zaracha b'shkisa b'rachacha gana yarak. You know, Egypt is great. Why is Egypt great? Why? One reason. There's only one reason. The Nile. Right? Because Egypt has a built-in water source that irrigates everything. God says to us, listen, I'm going to tell you, we're going into Eretz Yisrael, it's wonderful. There are no real, serious water sources.
or at least no real water sources that could sustain an entire people. You're going to have to totally rely on rain. Oh, and by the way, it's the Middle East. It's the Middle East. See, it only rains 3 months out of the entire year. So my dear friends, can you imagine you're one of those Jews who came out of Egypt, you're getting the pep talk to go into Eretz Yisrael, and the best that God has to tell us is, by the way, no natural water sources, a lot of rocky soil, and you have to totally rely on rain. Ribono shel Olam, isn't it enough that He gave us 613 missiles? Give us a few tributaries. Give us a few bodies of natural water. Why does everything have to be difficult? Because you see, my friends, the Ribono shel Olam has a plan. You see, the Ribono shel Olam wanted it that Simcha Blas and his son Yehoshua in 1959 in Kibbutz Chatzerim, south of Be'er Sheva, would rediscover and re-implement drip irrigation. Because you see, my friends, if there was too much water, there would be no innovation. If there was enough natural water, we would not have discovered, even though drip irrigation is ancient, it was 1959, Yehoshua Blas Kibbutz Chatzerim, that modernized this process with something called the plastic emitter. I'm not going to get into it. You could Google it. Literally, it's a piece of plastic. Mamish, piece of plastic that regulates the flow of water and prevents dirt from getting stuck in the holes and clogging up the water. And do you know how many countries have been served by this technology? Do you know how many third world countries that were barren and lacked basic food staples have been helped because of this technology? This is the wheat of Eretz Yisrael. This is the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. The land teaches us how to master our materialism, how to master our wheat, how to actualize the dream of Yosef. And there are so many other products, so many other innovations that come out of Eretz Yisrael. You know, there was a beautiful article last week in the Jerusalem Post speaking about the exports of Eretz Yisrael. Do you know what the number one export of the state of Israel is? Humanitarian aid. That's the number one export of the state of Israel. Because wherever there is a catastrophe, and wherever there is a tragedy, one thing is clear, that you will see those precious soldiers getting on a plane, loading up field hospitals, and getting ready to help those, and even if they're nations that are hostile to our interests, and even if they're nations that would never ever reciprocate, this is Eretz Yisrael. This is the dream of Yosef. This is the Hine Anachnu Malmim Alumim. We own our wheat. We've mastered the material world in this land because the materialism of Eretz Yisrael is endowed with incredible holiness. You know, we often speak about the breakthroughs in the field of science and technology in Israel. And so, you know, unfortunately, whenever we think about science and technology, the first thing that often comes to mind is Iron Dome, David's Sling, which are incredible. But you know, Eretz Yisrael also produces other things than just weapons and defense systems. For those of us who were at APAC 2 years ago, we saw one of the opening presentations, I think it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, from a company called ReWalk. ReWalk was a company that was founded by Israeli doctor, Dr. Amit Gofer. And Dr. Gofer has created an exoskeleton that allows people with traumatic spinal cord injuries to walk again. The Jewish people, the state of Israel, has given humanity the opportunity to walk again. And my dear friends, that is not a metaphor. That is a literal statement. This is the dream of the wheat. In Eretz Yisrael, even that which is material is endowed with so much beautiful holiness. Eretz Yisrael is the place where we live the dream of Yosef. And we master the stars. Think about all of the beautiful Torah institutions in Eretz Yisrael. There are Hesder yeshivos, Hasidic yeshivos, Litvish yeshivos. You can learn the Torah of Rabbi Nachman. You can learn the Torah of Rav Steinman. You can learn Kabbalah. You can learn the Ketzos. Whatever flavor of Torah you want. Whatever religious experience you want. It's there for the taking. And you could ask my children, whenever we're in Eretz Yisrael,
So Shabbos night, Friday night, we always go to daven by the Kotel. And it gives my family a lot of anxiety, because usually it takes me about 2 hours to daven Kabbalah Shabbos. There. You think Kabbalah Shabbos on a Friday night is long. Come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll see why it's long. Why? Because it's like a spiritual candy store. How can you choose just one minyan? The vision of Tzur Hasidim are davening in the front left of the outside wall. Such a beautiful, heartfelt, ancient nigunim. And the boys from Yeshiva HaKotel just came dancing down, and they're all excited. And then, of course, there's a group of soldiers who are coming, many of whom are seeing the Kotel for the first time. And they understand what it is that they are defending, what it is that they are fighting for. So who do you daven with? Will it be the vision of Tzur Hasidim, the Yeshiva HaKotel boys, the soldiers, the birthright group? And of course, the answer is everyone. Everyone. Because this is the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. No matter what you want, no matter what kind of ruchnius you are looking for, it's all there. And finally, Eretz Yisrael is the place where we feel true achdus. You know, it's interesting, I find that as I get older, I find much greater meaning in some of the more touristy things in Eretz Yisrael. It's actually when we went on the trip with Wit, so we went to Latrun. I've been to Latrun before. I don't know why I paid more attention this time. I learned something amazing. You know, Latrun is the museum for the armored corps of Israel. And do you know, again, Israel has produced, as we said before, a lot of incredible weaponry, among them the Merkava tank. So the Merkava tank defies global tank technology. How so? Because the Merkava tank has the engine in the front. Every other tank system globally has the engine in the back. What's the chap? The chap is a very simple one. Because if you're engaged in combat, you need to protect the engine. Because if someone goes out and shoots the engine, damages the engine, then what? The tank is done. The Israeli military made a calculated decision that better to keep the engine in front because it protects the driver of the tank. Better to lose the tank and save the soldier than put the soldier at risk and keep the tank. And I have to tell you, I started to cry at Latrun. It was a little bit embarrassing. A young soldier, right, showing us around, and here I'm overwhelmed by simple Avas Yisrael, by a simple love of a fellow Jew that is so profound, that is so systemic, that it is even part about how we design our weaponry for war. Everything is about the other. When I was in Eretz Yisrael last, I was going to Vasikin at the Kotel, and I jumped in a cab, and amazingly enough, the cab driver was on the phone having an argument with someone. It was like 10 after 5 in the morning. So I asked him, I said, is this someone maybe from the States? He said, no, it's my friends from here. See, he's yelling at each other. So what I was able to glean is that the driver was a landlord. You know, it's only in Eretz Yisrael where the cab drivers also own real estate. Amazing thing. And so he owned apparently apartments that he rented out. And he's on the phone and he's arguing. He's arguing with this guy. Something about a door. A door broke off. Whose responsibility is it? And they're getting heated. Finally, the cab driver says, Chaver, ani lo tzoek alecha, ani rak medaber bekol ram. My friend, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just speaking loud. See, my friends, because when you live in a country with your brothers and sisters, there's no yelling. It's just speaking loud. It's just speaking passionately. And even though sometimes that speech is very passionate, and even though sometimes that speech reaches a very high decibel level, it is always has the underpinning and always has the foundation of love. Maybe not always mutual respect. Sometimes that's lacking. But it always has love. So my friends, this is the dream of Eretz Yisrael. The dream of the wheat, even our materialism is holy. The dream of the stars, our spirituality, and the dream of Achdus. So my dear friends, what we come here tonight to celebrate, and with this I'll conclude, is that we have never stopped dreaming. From the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us, Lech Lecha, we've been journeying. And in the words of Rabbi Nachman, L'chol makom sh'ani holich, ani holich le'eretz Yisrael. Wherever I go, I might have gone from New Jersey to New York to Baltimore to here to there, but at the end of the day, I'm always traveling in the same direction. I'm always traveling to Eretz Yisrael. My whole life only takes me in one kivun, in one direction. Some of us get to the destination sooner. Some of us get to the destination later. Because it's the land of Israel that teaches us our ability to master our wheat, to master our stars. It is the land of Israel which gives us the confidence that no matter where we are or what we are doing, we have the ability to accomplish great things. This is our celebration tonight. That 69 years ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the blessing of a state. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to continue to dream. And so we won't fool ourselves. The state is not perfect. Medinat Yisrael, this is very important to acknowledge and understand. The state of Israel is far from perfect. There are inherent flaws with the way the state is set up. There are inherent contradictions between democracy and Judaism. There are inherent flaws with the way that the army is set up. There are inherent flaws within every single segment of Jewish population in Israel. The Haredi community has its problems. The Chiloni community has its problems. The Dati Lu'umi, which has more names and more segments that I could even keep track of anymore, has its problems also. And we should never delude ourselves into thinking that the state is Moshiach, that the state is Geula, because it's not. But by giving us a state 69 years ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the courage to keep dreaming. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown us that when you dream for 2,000 years, and you keep the same dream, then at the end of the day, that dream will bear fruit. Maybe not for you, but for your children, for your grandchildren. As a people, we've been journeying, and we've been dreaming. And because of that, because ultimately, again, Hayinu Kecholmen, we've continued to dream no matter what, we are privileged tonight to sing a song of Shir HaMalos B'Shuv Hashem, as Shiva Sion. We are privileged to celebrate our return to Sion. We're privileged to celebrate the establishment of our state. And we should hope that in the merit of recognizing this miracle, celebrating this miracle, appreciating this miracle, giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this miracle, may we be privileged to see the continuity and continuation of our Geula. May be Zochem Yeretz Hashem to gather together not for Yom HaAtzmaut program, but halavai, we should be zochem yitzchem to gather together next year for a sudas Mashiach. We should be privileged, God willing, all of us together to be in Eretz Yisrael, and not just for a long weekend, and not just for a sabbatical, I'm not hinting at anything, but not just for a summer, but we should be zochem yitzchem Hashem to gather together in Eretz Yisrael because it has become our permanent residence. Our residence as individuals, our residence as a people, with a rebuilt land, a rebuilt Yerushalayim, a rebuilt Beis HaMikdash, Meher Rabbi Ameinu. Amen. Amen. Thank you.